Hey, this is Alec.
Hey, this is Samir.
And this is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Welcome to episode 65. Let's get it.
EDM champions, thank you guys for joining us this week on Beyond the Beats. Let me just start off by saying you look terrific. Is it your hair? Is it your new clothing? What are you doing? Keep it up because you really, really do look fantastic. Thank you again for joining us for another episode of Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. But before we get into that, I'm going to take you guys back to the clubs in 2011. I'm going to take you into a nice dark club. There's a DJ up on stage and they're playing some Moomba. That's right. You probably haven't heard Moomba in a really long time, but it was really big 2010, 2011, 2012. And one of the pioneering songs of this genre is Nada Strom's I. That's spelled I exclamation point exclamation point. This is one of my absolute favorite Moomba tracks from back then. And I'm very excited to be sharing it with the EDM champions right now. It is my on repeat. And here it is.
My man, you said you were going to bring back the Moomba vibe, and you certainly have with this track. I am all about it, and I feel like it's just in time for those summer type of vibes as well.
Hell yeah, dude. Booty Shakers, this is your siren song right here, okay? Get ready to dance, get ready to move that ass, and you're gonna look terrific out there on the dance floor. But, you know, one thing that I really like about this track is this, it just comes from a very interesting time in EDM, right? So this song is originally by Nada Strom, and it was released on Scion AV, which I'm sure you guys may have heard of Scion before, but it is the now defunct car manufacturer, which was an offshoot off of Toyota. So Scion, in order to kind of appeal to a younger driving audience or driver demographic, if you want to call it that, they invested heavily in a record label, in like a documentary, production component, you know, short film production component. They really tried to tap into youth culture to really market themselves towards younger drivers. And one of the ways that they did that was they started Scion AV, which is where this track was released. Funny enough, this track was also touched by Skrillex in a major, major way. If you listen to the full version of this track, you'll hear a bunch of Skrillex's classic kind of vocal chops, the way he distorts the vocals, some of the vocal samples. Like, you can even hear some of Bangarang in this song as well. So it's just a really, really fascinating time because Skrillex wasn't even featured like in the title of this track. It's literally just Nada Strom, I, and in the credits of this track, you got Skrillex in there kind of tucked away. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, this is before Skrillex became like the name everybody knows. So this song always just really blasts me back to a really simple time in my life, high school. I think I was a senior in high school at that time. You know what I mean? I was like one of the only kids in my high school who was listening to EDM, and like, you know, people thought it was the strangest thing, but here we are. It's a multi-billion dollar worldwide business now, and 10 years later, we're loving it. We're still talking about it. EDM is here to stay. What's up, Alec? How's it going?
I love that Skrillex kind of had an influence in there, and it just shows really his progression as a producer and why he has such an amazing reputation amongst other producers as just being a high quality musician. And
absolutely,
I think, you know, when you start looking at the things that he's credited with, where he and who he's been working with, it's really interesting to see you know, what type of just the breadth of the music, right? It just makes a lot of sense now when you see him taking on other projects like Dog Blood. It just shows he's got a very broad array of musical aptitude. So I think it's really interesting to see that he was involved in some Mumba too.
Yeah. Skrillex, I mean, the guy do a Mumba so album, versatile. My man.
You should what, do that. I was thinking, how crazy would it be if he did an entire Mumbaton album?
Oh, I would love that. I would just love to see Mumba kind of come back in a major way, because I tell you, my iTunes library from that time is pretty much just all Mumba and early trap. So it was just really fun going through my iTunes library and just trying to see some of those tracks I was really, really into back then, and how those tracks still like remain strong and still tug at my heartstrings to this day. That's why I love this song.
Loving it, man. Loving it. And speaking of music, we've got a bunch of new music to talk about this week, as always. I mean, some massive releases, some of the biggest names in EDM right now. We're talking about DJ Snake, Marla, Sonny Federa teaming up with his boy Dom Dolla,
the homies.
Hot Since 82, and everyone people as well. Oh, they are the absolute homies, man. They have such a cool little bromance thing going on. It's awesome
they really
to see
do.
Them on stage together. Great back-to-back. Highly recommend it if you get a chance to see them. We've also got new music from artists we're watching. Girth out with an absolute banger. Orb, who we haven't talked about in a long time. Glad that she's to see that she's back in the studio. And Nada, another return of an artist we have not talked about. Big release on Brooklyn Fire, which is Tommy Sunshine's record label. Delving into the news and culture section, we're talking about Switzerland and what they're doing in terms of loosening restrictions for nightlife. Lost Lands and Bass Canyon, unfortunately cancelled, but good to see some of the policies that they're enacting. We'll talk about those. Lastly, we're going to delve into Akali, who hinted at a new alias on Twitter.
Sneaky.
Sneaky guy. He's been working hard, clearly. Then we've got a preview of an artist spotlight in session. I won't ruin who, but I could tell you this. The discussion was awesome, and the mix was arguably even better. Just an absolute stand-up, solid guy, amazing DJ and producer. And then lastly, the two sections that are really the epitome of the Beyond the Beats podcast. It is the What Are We Listening To section, where we rate, review, and discuss two different tracks, EPs, or albums. This week, we've got two tracks for you. Very, very interesting. That's from Grizz, as well as Wolfgang Gartner. And then lastly, and but not least, we've got the artists we're watching section, where we have two fantastic artists that need to be on your radar. As soon as you listen to this episode, follow, subscribe, like, you're going to enjoy them. Trust me on this one. All right, kicking it back off to the top. We've got the new music section. Oh boy, we're diving into some heavy, heavy stuff at the beginning with DJ Snake and his new release called Trust Nobody.
Alec, I can see it now. I see a nice tall Parisian man standing up on top of a DJ booth and telling everybody to put their freaking hands up. This track is just straight up energy, homie. Straight up energy. And it's really, really neat, because I feel like DJ Snake has been a little bit quiet with his releases lately. But to see him come back with this track, Trust Nobody, in a major way. I mean, he's been teasing this song for a really long time too. Mm-hmm. I should say that. Mm-hmm. Like, at his massive show in Paris, I don't know if you remember seeing like all those videos from like, you know, that show. But I'm pretty sure he did like one of those Wall of Death things to this song. And mm-hmm. It has been blowing up EDM media everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Like, this video is legit everywhere. And it's been a very, very highly anticipated release. People have been waiting for this song for a very long time. And it did not disappoint. I'm telling you, this track, as you guys have probably just heard, packed full of energy. But what I love about it is that it really feels like a DJ Snake track. Like, it doesn't feel generic. Like, this mm-hmm, is like mm-hmm. literally, especially in the vocals, it feels like this is his song. Alec, what did you think?
I couldn't agree with you more there, man. Not just does it have the energy that you'd expect when it comes to some of the heavier trap artists out there. You know, he does tend to sometimes go a little bit darker, a little bit heavier. But as you said, I think just so aptly there, is that it really remains true to his sound. And I think you could see this very easily being mixed in very well in one of his sets. Oh, yeah. And I mean, the videos, man, have you seen some of the videos for it?
Insane, dude. Insane. I mean, people have been waiting for this song for a long time. So to see it finally released, I mean, he did a really good job, though, of like just building up the hype. Like, his team put together such great like live video collateral of him playing this song, and it pops off live and it pops off in your headphones,
and they've always done a good job with that. I've noticed that's something with DJ Snake. Yeah, like, for, you know, whether you like him or not, I mean, you've got to give it to the guy that whatever his marketing PR team is doing, they're doing stuff very correctly. I mean, it seems like, you know, a lot of his hits, he always gets really positive publicity behind it. Even if people aren't the biggest fans of it, there's always still positive press around it and just good press coverage. So shout out to the team, DJ Snake there. Talking about another French maestro who is known for shaking up the EDM scene, we're going to be talking about Mala. He just dropped a track called Don't Talk.
You know, I think I talked about this with Mala's last release that we covered this year in 2020. And that release really, really impressed me, because his releases from 2019 kind of fell a little bit flat for me. Like, I felt like, for lack of a better term, I felt like he was getting a little bit soft in his releases. But this is just him returning to like, hey, I'm still dark, I'm still dirty, and I'm bringing those vibes to my bass house music. And what I love about this song, too, is, I mean, again, the infectious vocal sample. I mean, that vocal sample can really drive a track, and it can be really hit or miss, right? I mean, it's always based on personal preference. For me, this shit was just popping. This really made me want to dance, and that vocal sample was helping it drive it all the way home. Alec, what did you think?
I would agree with you there. I think it can be, you know, when you have just one core vocal sample that you're using repetitively in a house track, I think it can sometimes, you know, really be that hit or miss situation, right? It can either be annoying, right? And just like,
we talked about
almost
that.
Too catchy, right? But then I think sometimes, but Mala does seem to do it very well. You know, it's just incorporated properly with the track. It's catchy. It gets you moving. And as you said, very aptly there, Samir, I think it really is a return to some of the darker sounds that he was going for. But what I think this is a big indicator of, actually, is maybe a progression in Mala's sound. I think he's opening the door towards including some more bass house there. So it's no longer just G house and, you know, that darker form of house that he's known for. But I could really see him picking up the energy mid-sets with some bass house tracks. And I think having originals like these is just going to make it all the more sense to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to just get a hold of Mala's thumb drive for his CDJs and just to take all
just
that music from
there.
Him, man. Absolutely. Exactly. He's got some shit lurking in there, dude.
He really does. And speaking of boys who've got stuff lurking, who are always seeming to team up and put out tracks, we've got Sonny Federa and Dom Dollar. What are you laughing about over there, Sonny?
It's just like an that transition to the
that
next.
That was a terrible transition. So I tried to make it work, and I was like, I don't know.
It's all right. It's all right. Sometimes
we'll
they work, and sometimes
roll
they don't. I've had my fair share.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we'll roll with it. We'll roll with it. Thank you for calling me out on that. Sonny Federa teamed up with Dom Dollar for this track called Moving Blind. Take a listen. Keep shaking it. I'm gone again. Keep shaking it. You need a friend. Keep shaking it. I need a seat. Keep shaking it. Can't feel my feet. Keep shaking it.
Daddy, yeah, this is, I'm telling you, man, we're on a roll right now with these hits. Like, this is just another song that's gonna make you want to move. I will say this, though, right? The vocal sample that was used in this track is very, very Dom Dollar-esque. Like, you could just tell, like, that is core Dom Dollar coming out on this track. And then Sonny Federa, you know, I'm sure they both had hands in the production there, but Sonny Federa really seemed like the driver in the actual production. The bass line especially really felt like Sonny Federa. But no matter what, I mean, these guys are a fantastic, fantastic team. Alec, I know you've seen them play back-to-back live, so I'm going to assume that this is just another perfect song for one of their back-to-backs or even in their individual sets. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. What they've done and managed to do, not only in their back-to-backs, but clearly in their collaborations, is that they've got kind of like a methodology down. And that is, as you said, I think Dom Dolla does a very unique way of manipulating vocal samples, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Using it and kind of creating samples that could be light if they weren't sampled, and you know, he puts his reverb on it and all these other effects, so he makes it this darker kind of, like, you know, just makes you kind of want to groove in a dark nightclub warehouse type of vibe to it, giving it a real warehouse bass type of feel. And then Sonny Federa has this amazing ability to be able to take very minimal, actually, song structures, but be able to create tension out of it. And I think sometimes with him, it could be hit or miss with that, right? But we do know that Dom Dolla definitely was really more the vocals there. You can see that there's other tracks. When Sonny Federa uses vocals, it's a little bit more light and airy sounding. So, but when they match the two together with his minimalistic, you know, design, especially that last drop there, is just the build up for that, I think, is fantastic. Really, really is a collaboration that I can see being incredibly fruitful going forward. And if anyone gets a chance to see them go back to back, definitely, they're a lot of fun to see live.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Thank you for giving us a little bit more context there on Sonny Federa and Dom Dolla. Alec, what are we talking about next? We're both big fans of this artist. Who are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. We're staying in the tech house realm here with Hot Since 82, teaming up with a vocalist called Liz Cass for a track called Eye of the Storm. Take a listen.
You know, when I saw this song pop up in our show notes, I was like, is this like a rip of Eye of the Tiger? Let me just bring it back. And I just want to say, like, this is a really, really exciting direction for Hot Since 82. Like, Hot Since 82 is just one of those guys who absolutely has been dominating the tech house scene. But he seems to be really transitioning, yes, still with the tech house, but also really focusing on, like, these overall kind of, I don't want to say cinematic elements, but not focusing so much on the... Yes, that's actually, thank you, melodic, more of like a melodic version of tech house. And it's a really exciting transition for him, in my opinion, because I've seen Hot Since 82 a couple of times. And one of my all-time favorite shows that I've ever attended was a Sunday show at this Brooklyn kind of factory that is no longer used. It's been converted into a venue and there's multiple rooms, but it was a Sunday show. I mean, it started at 3 p.m., went until like 9 p.m. He played a six-hour set. And I just watched the sun set over the venue. And as, you know, as the sun set over the venue, like, the music got a little bit darker, a little bit more melodic. And it was really, really dope because it just, this song right here blasts me back to that time. It blasted me back to, like, those sunset vibes. The lights are starting to come on, you know what I mean? Like, the venue, the energy is really, really picking up as the sun sets. So I love this song because... I can imagine it fitting in so perfectly with the Hot Since 82 set. It's a really, really fantastic transition for this more melodic take on tech house. But on top of that, Liz Cass sounded absolutely amazing on this song too, dude. So, like, the whole combination of this track, it checked all the boxes for me. So that's enough for me, Alec. What'd you think?
No, I'm right there with you, man. I think you astutely picked up on the fact that he's definitely going more of the melodic house direction, or rather combining elements of melodic house. You know, you can hear people kind of like Noah and Pure, that type of style in there, mixed in with his tech house background there. And he's been doing this, I think, for a little while now. I mean, EP that he released that I was absolutely obsessed with was that last one. It's the 8-track EP, it's literally called 8-track.
Yeah, that is a fantastic EP, man.
Obsessed. But that kind of just shows you where he got really melodic in that, right? And so This is actually, Eye of the Storm is actually the lead single from his forthcoming album. And I think it's just a hint that we're going to see some more, you know, focus on the melodic aspect there and more of these type of combinations between the melodic sound with his tech house background, which I think is great. And just a quick side note, I'm glad that you brought her up on Liz Cass. I mean, she's got about 70K monthly, you know, Spotify listeners. So still relatively small there. But she hasn't been doing music for too long, but she's been doing a lot actually with electronic music artists. And she has upcoming collaborations apparently with people like Jansons, Matador, and then Hot Since 82. Nice. Again, I'm assuming probably another track on the album. So I'm really down for it. So in the show notes, I'm going to put up a link to her Spotify as well, because, you know, I feel like we definitely should shout out some of these people when they really impress us with their vocal ability.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. No, great thought there. And thanks for, you know, including her Spotify in the show notes as well. Guys, I mean, Hot Since 82 has been inspiring Alec to throw like a boat party. You know, he watched one Circle set. If you guys don't know what Circle is, they throw really, really dope parties in like very interesting venues. So there's one on YouTube of Hot Since 82 DJing for like, what, 2 or 3 hours with a bunch of really, really good looking people
on a pirate ship.
Yes. In like the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. And ever since Alec has seen that video, man, you've just been obsessed with throwing a boat party, I feel like.
Obsessed. I mean, it's the vibe I want, man. It's the vibe. And it was the music he was playing. It was just perfect.
It's a great set.
It was just one of my favorite sets of his, just because it just pieces everything together and it just looks like a good time because it's very intimate, very close. It's not about the lights or anything like that. It's just about the music and your surroundings. And I really like when, you know, I think tech house and melodic house, when it's done that way, is very fulfilling. I don't know how else to really put it. So I'm going to do it before I die.
Beyond the Beast takes on the Seven Seas.
It's
going to
happen, man. It's going to happen. That would be awesome. But
one last track here that we got is Ali and Phila and Jess, J-E-S. And the track is called I Won't Let You Fall. Take a listen.
Glad that we're talking about a track like this, right? I mean, I wanted to put up here to get a little bit of diversity in terms of the new music that we're talking about. And I mean, Samir, I'll kick it over to you after I get my quick thoughts here, but I actually really enjoyed this. I thought this was a very, very solid release, but you know, you're gonna have to help me out here, but for whatever reason I am struggling to kind of pinpoint the sub-genre or sub-sub-genre. I mean, Jesus, there's so many nowadays, but it's like it almost feels trance with like progressive and deep house. I don't know, like, what would you consider them as in general? I'm not as well versed in this area.
I also really enjoyed this song a lot because it doesn't, you know, I'm not the biggest trance fan. And I think what really hit home for me on this song is the fact that it's not like classical, like very uplifting trance. Mm-hmm. And Ali and Phila do the uplifting trance sort of shtick, right? I won't say shtick. That's not a nice way to say it. But like they do play into that subgenre.
They dabble.
They dabble. But what I would say, though, is I feel like this is more of a tech trance trance song here, right? Not necessarily focusing on like those big, massive, grandiose synths, you know what I mean, that make you want to put your hands up and start crying as you look up into the sky.
It's minimal.
But it has a lot of energy to it. It has a lot of energy. It has a good build of tension and a release intention. And that's exactly what Ali and Phila and Jess did here with this song, I Won't Let You Fall. And I got to say, another song with vocals, and I'm about it. I actually really enjoy the vocals on this track as well. It can be a little bit cheesy, but this is a little bit less cheesy as compared to some of the other cheesy trance songs that I've heard in my life. So I'm pumped up on this one too, Alec. I'm just in a good mood with this new music. This is a good selection.
I think so too, man. I'm glad that you're pumped up on the vocal tracks. I mean, that's big. That's big news if Samir's all about the vocal. That's amazing. Wow. Are you
summertime
just in a good
Samir.
Mood? There you go.
Summertime probably, Samir. I wear my short sleeve shirts unbuttoned and my short shorts and I'm ready to chill, dude.
Jesus. What are those guys? What are those guys? One of the bros in the back there. House bros. That's a new type of person.
I have pink flamingos on my shirt. But Alec, we're talking about some new music from artists we're watching. Who are we starting off with?
Oh, we got to start off heavy hitter over here. We talked about him last week on his collaboration with Run It for reaching 5k followers on SoundCloud. So congrats to them both for that big milestone here. But then Girth decided to follow it up with a massive release called Jitter. You're just going to get into a real rhythm here. It's almost a groove, if there can be groove in trap. Just take a listen. You'll see what I mean. Talk about someone fucking up the trap scene right now, man. I mean, Girth is coming in hot with this track. This is probably one of my favorite releases of his. And just a big shout out to him for releasing this on Music High Court. That is such a label to be, label to be releasing this song on. And I mean, this is just showing that there is a serious resurgence in trap happening right now. And we've been talking about this a bit on the podcast, but with artists like Girth kind of propelling this sound forward, like a more chaotic yet harmonized sort of trap sound, like it's very, very interesting because there's a lot going on in it, but at the same time it still sticks to its overall core and its overall theme that it sets out to do. And this is just one of those songs that really plays well into like this hybrid trap, new wave trap that we're experiencing right now. So I'm a really big fan of this brand new song from Girth called Jitter. Alec, what'd you think?
I agree with you, and then second, I want to second what you were saying. Just shout out to him for getting it released on Music High Court. I mean, that's definitely, once you start getting releases on people like that, you know, that's just a great one. And also shout out to Fucks With It, our boys over and girls over at Fucks With It, for premiering this. You know, I love when they always premiere fantastic music, so you know, definitely give those guys and girls a follow, because I tell you what, like, they always are premiering great stuff.
Great team over there.
Quick shout out to them as well. But I tell you, in terms of the actual song, what I love about what Girth has been doing and seems to be really honing in now is including that kind of groovy feel to it. And I think when people say groovy, what it really is just highlighting the rhythm, right? And so it's just got a very, you know, even though it's chaotic, you notice that it goes from chaos, and then when you really start hearing on the downbeat of the drop, it just starts getting a little bit more clearer, and it's a bit more of a clearer rhythm going there. And so I think that's very, you know, it pays homage to a lot of hip-hop tracks and some of the hip-hop tracks that have really just fantastically produced, you know, beats with it. But it also is looking at other genres in too, and how they get people constantly moving to it. And it is that rhythm that you just want to get into when you're listening to this. You know, I just love what he's doing with it. And I think that he and Partica Group in general are just really pushing the boundaries on trap music as we know it.
Absolutely. Love that team over there. Love that team. So congratulations to Girth on a massive release. All right, Alec, we're talking about an artist that I put onto this show here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Orb, and she just released a brand new song called Drift. Feel the emotion. Let this take you away.
I am a big, big, big fan of this track. You know what's funny?
I actually came across it and I texted you about it. I was like, wait, where do I know this person from? I feel like we've talked about them before. Did you talk about them? Because I came across this on my SoundCloud for you and I was like, this is just fire. Absolute fire. I just love, what I love about it actually is just there's a lot of depth to the song. So it is still quite minimal. And I think, you know, some people may get bored by that. But if you really are listening quite closely and you listen to the song, you know, in its complete entirety, you'll hear the tension being built slowly and you'll hear just the depth. And I feel like there's a lot of emotion that's kind of packed into her tracks in general and particularly into this track. How about you? What do you think?
Bro, I'm all in on Orb and all of her releases just because I love the vibe that it cultivates. And you're absolutely right. Like, from a first listen, you're like, oh, this is nice. Like, she's keeping it very nice and very minimal, but the layers are very intricate. She does such a great job of just combining all of them to make it sound so incredibly cohesive. But if you keep re-listening to her songs and if you keep really trying to find something new in her tracks, you will find something new in her tracks. And that's what I really like about this new release, Drift. It plays along to what she releases, but it just shows also a progression in her sound. So again, fantastic release from Orb. Really, really happy that we put her on our roster of artists that we're watching. Alec, this next one was also featured on the same episode that we featured Orb on. And this is your artist that you're watching that you put on our roster. Who we got?
That's right. I completely forgot about that. Thanks for the reminder. But we're going to be talking about Nada, all caps. Just got to make that point clear. Because he came out with a song called Religion, and it is a banger. Take a listen, Chandra.
I want Nada to do with you after we finish recording this episode. I'm just messing around.
I knew you were going to say
that. Man, you know me too well. We've been doing this for too long.
So
We've been
original.
Friends for too
so
long.
So original.
Here. I know.
Such
I'm
an
awful.
Original pun.
I'm awful. But another fantastic bass house song from Nada, and that too released on a massive record label like Tommy Sunshine's Brooklyn Fire. And what a great place to put this song as well. Like, this is so part of like that Brooklyn Fire aura, the Tommy Sunshine aura, staying on the edge of aggressive cutting edge house music and the subgenres of house music as well. I think Tommy Sunshine's label really focuses on bass house and the artists that he tries to sign onto that, and Nada is such a perfect fit for this. And what I love is, like, I was listening to some of his older tracks and then I listened to this one, Religion. I was like, man, this guy has come such a long way in his production. Mm-hmm. So just a massive shout out to him. What'd you think?
He's clearly, I that was something I was actually just going to point out too, is the fact that you can see the progression in his production style. It's clean. You know, this is certainly a very clean track, probably one of the cleanest tracks that he's put out there. And so you could just hear how far he's come along as an artist. And it's just another reason why we're watching him, right? Because, you know, this is just a sign. When you start seeing it, it's just so cool to see artists progress, you know, in their sound, in their ability, and then also just getting recognition and getting traction with big labels like Brooklyn Fire. And then when you get, you know, I mean, Tommy Sunshine is, not everyone may know him, but he's kind of a legend in the scene.
OG.
He really is an OG in the scene, and he also just has a particular way of identifying trends and artists, you know, who are up and coming. He's got a great, great ear for it. So if Tommy Sunshine is, you know, or his labels putting support behind somebody, you better look out for them because they are up and comers. And I can tell you that Nada is certainly that. Certainly indeed. But Samir, that awesome. Wraps up all the new music. And I know we've talked about an awful lot here. So champions, if you need to go and follow these people, which I highly, highly recommend that you do, you can find all the links to their SoundClouds, to their socials, etc. on our website. That's www.beyondthebeats.co/episode 65. 5. We've also got links to all the playlists on there. We try to keep those updated as much as possible. So we've got all the weekly listens that we're doing for the for 4 episodes at a time. That's on Spotify. And on SoundCloud is where you'll be able to find all of the artists that we're watching for this year as well as last year. So definitely check those out. And then if you want to engage with us, we want to hear with you. We want to see all the champions that are listening and talk with you guys and girls. So definitely give us a follow or give us a DM on Instagram. That's at btb.pod or on Twitter, which is at podbtb. But Samir, let's take it a step back and kind of roll back the pace for a second here, because, you know, we've been talking about this a lot off the air, but I feel that getting the positivity going and the good vibe, we keep saying that word vibe, but you know, there really isn't Alec a way is to describe it. Just vibe king.
You're the right? Vibe king, dude.
Absolutely. So like, I think it's important that we just, you know, take a pause and reflect on our weeks. You know, it's good practice for me, and I think it's good practice for other people too. And
totally.
Hopefully, you know, if you've had a down week, and hopefully listening to this will just make you feel a bit better. So that's why we're going to start including this. So Samir, tell me, what's something, you know, that you did this week that was cool, or
yeah,
is there something that you learned that was particularly interesting?
It's been a really, really fun week. It's been a really busy week, but it's been a really, really fun week.
Yeah, just talk about work. Busy. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we've been balls to the wall.
Just with work. And then we released 2 sessions, one by Schuster and one by Nadzi, up on our SoundCloud. And it was just, what really felt good to me this week is just getting music out there, new sounds out there for people to listen to and for people to enjoy, make it a part of their lives, you know? Seeing people add our sessions into their playlists and seeing them like them and repost them means that we're hitting a positive nerve with them. We're hitting a positive nerve with these listeners. And that gets me really, really excited, because music can bring a wide range of emotions. But above all, it's meant to bring some sort of joy or entertainment into your life or make you feel something. And so long as we accomplish that, that always makes it a good week for myself. Another thing is, though, I had my dog with me for a couple of days here in nice. My apartment. And so it was just so nice just spending time with my dog, taking him out for frequent walks here in the New York area. And obviously we're wearing a mask, but just seeing his face and hanging out with him while I was editing last week's episode and just doing all this work just really made the week feel so much better. It really just goes to show you that family and the things that you love can have such a profound impact on your productivity and your mindset. So don't forget, you know, always appreciate the little things in life and always appreciate your loved ones. Alec, what about you, dude?
I love that. I love that message, because just fundamentally what you're saying is, you know, it's important to be present. It's important to be in the moment. You know, but in a way that may not be just obsessed with the news and with COVID and everything, yeah. Right? Like, there are other things that are important in your life, you know, and despite us being, you know, under lockdown in certain places or just restricted if you're in others, you know, life and time does move on. So you just want to make sure that you're enjoying each present moment and the people that matter to you.
Totally.
Mine's kind of a similar thing, but I don't know if you've ever watched the show, Samir. Have you ever watched The Orville?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so like, are you a Seth MacFarlane fan?
I am a Seth MacFarlane fan, yeah.
So did you, like, another question here, but did you ever watch Star Trek by any chance? Were you a
no,
Trekkie?
No, I did not.
Oh,
no.
Man. So I'm a big, actually, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I'm a big Trekkie. I love Star Trek.
Oh, dude, I'm learning something new every day. Yeah. I love that. Uh-huh. That's awesome.
I love it, because what's interesting about Star Trek, just quick context on it, Star Trek was kind of, what it was designed was to tell, you know, the story of this, you know, how humans became the spacefaring race and came into contact with all these different life forms out on the planet. We go and explore, but it's meant to be, you know, represent, you know, the best of human society. But yeah. All these other aliens and things would encapsulate, you know, societal issues and things that were going on during the time. And so in a very clever way, the writers of Star Trek would use, you know, the storytelling and placement of these characters in, you know, foreign worlds and just completely, you know, different alien backgrounds as a way to do, you know, societal commentary and just to get us to think about our lives. What's amazing that Seth MacFarlane did is that he went and he did essentially a part spoof of it, but also really it's actually not a spoof. It's more of an homage to it. So it's funnier in that Seth MacFarlane Family Guy way. Because Star Trek was, you know, occasionally would be humorous, more witty, but, you know, he really makes it's a comedy. But at the same time, though, he adds in that element of just the societal commentary, or just like, just, you know, moral questions and dilemmas that the crew come upon. But it's just done in a way that is just completely paying homage to the old style of Star Trek, but done in a new way. And it just made me really sad to see that critics didn't understand that. So the critics didn't like it, but the fans absolutely loved it, because the critics didn't really get what he was doing. But for Star Trek fans, they do. They have this simulator on board, which helps them like feel they're close attached to home, because there are these virtual reality kind of simulations where they feel like they're on their home planet. And you can create your own simulations. And what the crew discovered upon on Earth was this, you know, time capsule box. You ever heard of people doing that, where they put things into time capsule?
Yeah, I think those are really neat.
So they uncovered one from 2015. And like, this is like in like the year, you know, 3000 or whatever it is, way ahead of time. And they're like, oh my God, this is a gold mine. It's a treasure chest. Right. And it's got someone's iPhone in it. And it's got like all the emails and like photos and texts and like social media stuff. Yeah. And they're going through this like, this is just fascinating. Like, what is this? And they were, instead of saying like complicated words, they use all these acronyms and things like that. And this guy, he uploads the phone data and everything into the simulator and creates a simulation of the person. But what I thought was just so interesting is that we talk about social media and the downsides. We talk about digital technology and its downsides, but there might be one time in the future where you can really get to know the past like you've never done before. Yeah. And what was just interesting is somebody like, that's such a profound thing to think about, that you can, you know, see into the lives of people in the past in a way that you never were be able to before. Like, I wish, I don't know about you, but I wish I knew more about my great grandparents or
absolutely
things like that.
Absolutely.
So roundabout way of getting to the point of like, I think one, the time capsule is a great idea, but it's really more the mentality behind it. It's realizing that you won't be forgotten because the people that you have an impact on will be remembering you. And I think it's important for us throughout our lives to document some of this stuff. And I feel like we've kind of gotten away from that. We just kind of put things up on Instagram. But just think about your children or grandchildren and just other people who could learn from you. So just, you know, that's the thing that I took. It's like, I'm gonna try to do a better job of just documenting things for me.
I love that, man.
Yeah, like it's a moment of catharsis for me, maybe in the future when I'm old and gray and lost my hair and I'm like, I need to go back to when I was, you know, young and doing the Beyond the Beats podcast, right? But then also it's just important things to share with my family. You know, I think people in the future, there's things I'd like them to know about me. I want them to know who I was. So
I'm pumped up on that, man. I'm really pumped up on that positivity. Oh, EDM champions. Let us know what you guys are thankful for. Tweet at us or send us an Instagram message. We want to hear from you guys. Like, we want to hear about the positive things that are happening in your life. We'll tell you a little bit more about the positive things happening in our life. We'd love to connect with you.
Well, diving into what's going on in the present, hopping back in our time capsule to the now, we're going to be talking about a few things, but let's kick it off with Switzerland. Okay, so Switzerland have been loosening restrictions gradually for nightlife and just in general during COVID-19. Back in, I think it was June 19th, they had already allowed nightclubs to open for up to 300 people. But now the news wire has shown us that Switzerland has basically gotten rid of most of those event restrictions except for really large scale events. But they're now allowing nightclubs to have capacity up to 1,000 people. You know, that's the capacity that they're allowing it to. Granted, there's still sections of 300 people, which is an interesting kind of like note there, but they're opening up to 1,000 people. And just for frame of reference for everybody, the death toll from COVID-19 in Switzerland is 1,680, with more than 31,000 people testing positive for the virus. However, according to the government, this is a quote here, the current situation is no longer comparable to the situation at the beginning of the year. So Samir, what are your thoughts on this? And I know it's kind of hard for us to give our perspective considering the fact that we're in the States, which is in a very different position.
Yeah. Well, I just Googled here what the population of Switzerland is, and it's 8.57 million people for the year of 2019, right? So not a terribly populous place. For them to have a small amount of cases compared to their population, 31,000 people testing positive versus an 8.57 million total population for the country, Switzerland, in my opinion, just based on these numbers alone, is in a good place to start reopening, especially where they're seeing just small double digits of daily cases popping up to this day. And I think what Switzerland did here and what a lot of European countries really did here really well is that like they took this lockdown very seriously. They took the PPE very seriously. They took the social distancing very seriously. And they waited. And especially like public places like bars and restaurants and clubs, like what we're talking about here, when they saw that the numbers were declining and they felt like it was safe, that's when they started to reopen everything back up. Switzerland is just a model example of, you know, coronavirus mitigation going very, very well. So the fact that these clubs are opening up in Switzerland, in my opinion, I do think this is a good move for them. You know, if I didn't think it was a good move for them, I would say it on the podcast. But I do feel like these restrictions that they have in place of up to 1,000 people in one event and then sections of 300, I like that they're still taking precautions. They're not just doing a free-for-all, but I also like that they are being sensible about when is the right time to reopen their country and allow people to start going to public places again. What'd you think?
Yeah, and just to quickly, you know, preface this, just so people don't get confused, it's not Switzerland that was looking at doing more of the herd immunity tactic, which essentially is just letting people get, that was Sweden.
Yeah.
So don't, it's like that's
two separate countries
close to each other, granted, which definitely caused some issues within the EU, but they're just two separate countries. So I wanted to just put that out there before people got confused. Yeah, I think it's just interesting in Switzerland what they've been able to do. We've been hearing a lot as well about contact tracing apps and things like that. In the States, we have Apple and Google and other big tech companies working together to try anonymously. I mean, it's kind of still, you know, shady and a little gray here. We're not too many details in terms of how they're doing it and if whether it's deployed yet. But other countries have been much more proactive in terms of using these contact tracing apps. So essentially apps that will notify you if you've come into the close proximity of somebody who has had or has tested positive for COVID. And so in Switzerland, they have one, it's just the Swiss COVID contact tracing app.
Straight into the
point. That was available on June 20th. Yeah, right. Like that's how they are, man. That's just their person. They're just straight.
They don't fuck around.
They don't fuck around. Like, they're just straight to the point.
Launch it.
Like, this is logical. Launch it. You know, so as of June, so this was June 25th, and then I can tell you as of today, actually, of this recording, which is June 28th, that's a Sunday, around 810,000 people have downloaded the app already.
Nice.
So I think what that just shows is actually in certain cultures and certain, you know, countries, which might be considered to be a little bit less individualistic, meaning the culture isn't revolved so much around an individual person's gain. It's people think much more in the mindset of what is better for the greater community at large. And just America would be considered, you know, by most cultural, you know, academics to be one of the more individualistic countries. Where we, it's not, and this, I don't mean it necessarily.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not just a good thing. This is just how we are here in the
US. And
it's
looking at the value system and just the economy and the way things are structured societally wise. And that's a separate argument, whether you think it's positive or negative, but just the fact is people are just more individualistic. But in countries such as Switzerland, there's more of a collectivist mentality there, meaning that they're working towards the common good. And you see, to be perfectly honest, in a lot of situations in other countries that have dealt with it very better, not better, they've just dealt with it and are really being able to release restrictions with lesser amount of risk that we can perceive right now, is a lot of the people were just a lot more compliant, willingly so, with regulations. And I think that's just an interesting thing to note and to think about for everyone over here in the US is, you know, potentially, you know, it's very hard on a large scale, such as just, you know, it's hard to compare just because in Switzerland, it's, you know, much more of a centralized kind of government scheme. It's smaller population, geographic area, etc. But one thing just to take note is just how people were just very much willing to follow some of these regulations and rules. And the Swiss are just known for that in general. So potentially, maybe we should just think about that over here in America a little bit.
Which I do agree with, but I also don't want to just, like, you know, not talk about like some of the more unique challenges that the US faces and other countries like the US face as compared to like Switzerland, right? Like, so like we just mentioned, Switzerland has a population of only 8.57 million people, right? I mean, that's pretty much as big as some of our biggest cities here in the US, but in the US we have, I think it's like over 350 million people, you know, US citizens. So obviously the population size and obviously the size of the country also makes a difference. We also have more densely populated areas as compared to Switzerland as well, right? So the US does come with its own unique challenges as compared to Switzerland. I think Alec will agree with me here that I think Switzerland really did take the time to really assess if it was a good idea to start opening things up at a slow and steady roll through. And now here they are, they're getting back to their nightlife, and everybody in Switzerland did what they had to do in order to help that process along. But the US, you know, we're still going through some tough times here with coronavirus. It hasn't gone anywhere. And in some states, we're seeing a spike in cases, right? It's all over the news. We're not making it up. With that being said, if we also try to maybe follow some of those guidelines and really take the personal protective equipment seriously, the social distancing seriously, you know, maybe we could get back to the dance floors just like Switzerland has in due time. It's a good idea to look at the positive methods that worked in Switzerland and maybe consider applying that to our personal lives and the way that we conduct ourselves here in the US.
Well, I agree with you. And I think to be perfectly honest about it, you know, it's not necessarily that the situations are comparable necessarily, that even yeah. some of the methodologies and the restrictions in terms of how many people restricted to where, the timeline for it, it's going to be all very different when comparing with the countries. However, the one thing that you can compare, right, we can understand the difference in social behavior. However, that's something that we can compare, which is the fact that just the social behavior was vastly different in a lot mm-hmm. of these other countries in terms of their adherence to, you know, social distancing and other types of regulations and things as well. So just remember that, you know, it's not a discriminatory virus, right? Like the only way that we know right now to be able to, you know, at least prevent massive spread and spikes in cases is to socially distance. So no matter what type of culture you're from, you know, the end of the day, if you want to get ahead of the cases here, it does look like the herd immunity is not necessarily going to be entirely possible. You just have to socially distance. So that's yeah. where I think the US can learn from it. It's not necessarily maybe the mechanisms or even the governmental response. It is more just the social behavioral aspect of it, just that people were following this and they were behind it. And I think we've seen, you know, as with a lot of, unfortunately, as a lot with a lot of things that go on in the US, there's quite some polarized debate over it, and people feel very strongly on both mm-hmm. sides. So I just wish that we could come to more of a common ground, you know, moving forwards. And I think
absolutely,
yeah, hopefully we can learn from but these instances.
It does provide, and I just want to give one last concluding thought here, it does provide a ray of hope for nightlife all around the world, right? Like mm-hmm. I know it feels like this coronavirus thing has just been here forever, you know what I mean? Like it's been months since we've hit the dance floor, right? But we are seeing countries start to open up again with their nightlife, right? The dance floor, the concrete underneath your feet, the asphalt, the grass, whatever, like it's waiting for you. It'll come back. We just have to do the things that are necessary, and Switzerland is a prime example of that, to see that yes, life can return back to normal. And we'll all be raving again with our good friends, our rave fam, our EDM champions, man. I can't wait to get back to the dance floor. I'm ready.
Well, and that's a very good point, a very positive point. It's just also realizing that at some point it is inevitable to return. Yeah. And we will be doing this at some point. Maybe it's not as fast as you would like it to be. However, you know, safety is definitely the number one priority here. And in the meantime, you know, because there's obviously arguments for nightclubs going out of business, you know, DJs and producers really struggling, support them while you can, right? Support them now in a way that you can. Like, just I feel like there's been, and this is not really to anyone's fault, but there seems to be this just real vibe shift and change I've kind of noticed in terms of people's you know, wish to consume music and the desire to share it with friends. I've noticed people getting kind of burned out, and I totally get that. But that is the way to keep on supporting the industry, is to remain involved, to remain active, to donate whenever you can. And if you can't donate, if you're not in a position to donate, you know, share them with a friend. You know, stream some of their songs, go out, find new music, talk about it on social media. These are things that are going to help the club scene going. Like, you know, whether it's a really proactive measure such as donating or supporting official causes such as the Independent American Venue Association that we've talked about in a couple episodes, or is it to as simple as just sharing new music with friends, right? Like, this is the way that you can help the industry until we can get back to the dance floor physically.
Totally. Totally, man. And I wrote an article for Fucks With It about 10 ways to help artists during this time. So I'll also include that in the show notes as well if anybody wants to peep that. There's some good tips in there, you know, and like Alex said, supporting artists probably through one of their most difficult times they've ever had in their career. All right. I love this. That was a good discussion there, man. That was a good discussion there.
Absolutely.
But we were just talking about some positive news for the dance floor, but we got to go a little bit somber here. We got to talk about Lost Lands and Bass Canyon. Bass heads, listen up. I hate to say it, but unfortunately, both events have been canceled. And you will have the option, luckily, you know, big shout out to Excision here and the team behind both of these events, but you will have the option to either keep your ticket for 2021 or you could receive a full refund. And anytime you see that those two options that, you know, presented to you, especially the full refund one, that's an automatic A+ in my opinion. That just shows that the consumers are being thought about, they're being well cared for. So just, again, I never thought that Excision would be the kind of person to like dick people over. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He really seems to put a lot of thought into the way that he wants to, you know, treat his fellow bass heads, his fellow headbangers. And this is just another example of why Excision is such an upstanding dude.
It really is, man. It just shows that his commitment to the scene and commitment to the consumer is genuine. It's authentic. And he's, you know, even though this is obviously not ideal for him, you know, he's definitely going to do it. And also that all of the teams obviously here made a decision to do everything that they can. I'm glad that they've taken note from how other handlings and the reception of other handlings of other events.
I wonder
gone.
Who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, a bunch of festivals, feel, really. But
there's
yeah.
a bunch. You know, there's a yeah. bunch. And it's a hard situation, so I do understand both sides of it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm just glad that, you know, Excision and the teams here seems to have the consumer at heart here. And I love seeing those type of, you know, policies. And also, it's just nice to see that he was talking about he's hard at work on an album and other big surprises.
Fucking love this guy,
this guy's
dude.
Always grinding, man. Guy. He's like, right, we can't throw it down in, you know, in person Lost Lands. So I'm just going to get on and focus, get cracking with other plans that I've had. So I love to see that he's doing that. And that's just, you know, another way to keep the positivity, keep the vibe going, you know, making use of this time as well. I love to see it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think he'll probably end up doing another sort of Couchlands. You know, I know he did one
awesome.
Earlier.
Yeah,
I love that name, by the way. Couchlands. What a great.
Perfect.
It brings a lot of joy to people's lives. And I think Excision knows that. And I have a feeling that's probably going to be one of his big surprises. And then the fact that he's hinting at a new album as well. I mean, this guy, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. He's always grinding. Excision is like literally just always. Such an upstanding dude to be watching. Really propelled this scene forward. I mean, he's absolutely massive, but he always just seems like he genuinely cares, and I love to see it.
Yeah, me too, man. I couldn't agree with you more there. And then lastly, for this week's news and culture section, we're going to be talking about Ikali. Okay, he has been doing some work, putting in some work, clearly. I mean, he's not only at the end of, was it the end of last year? Jesus, time's blowing now. He released
his
album.
Time is flying by.
Yeah, was it
but he did release an album. I want
yeah,
to say
it was his
year?
Album. Yeah, it was his debut album. I remember that. Whenever that was, Jesus, time's blurring. But he is saying, and he's hinted on Twitter, that he is dropping a new album under a completely new alias, and it's going to be a new vibe, in his words. And in the Twitter thread, which I'm putting up onto the show notes so you can see for yourselves, it appears as if he has confirmed it's going to be a house music focused album and alias. Very, very interesting, man. I have noticed in his sets that he does tend to sometimes drop a house track once or twice. And if he doesn't, he does do some of those house music sets. So I can't remember what he calls them, but or if he just says house set. Is that?
Yeah, right? So I'm really glad that you mentioned that he does drop some house music in his sets, because I was actually just checking 1001 track list. And I went to his EDC Vegas, virtual EDC Vegas, I should say, set that he did on the live stream, which is, by the way, we talked about this on the podcast, an absolutely insane half an hour of music. It is such a good set. But he did open that set with an ID by him and Alert, an artist that we're watching who focuses on Bass House. And like, that's a prime example right there. I think if people were to go to that set and listen to literally the first song, you're going to probably hear one of those tracks that we have forthcoming off of his new album. The one that he's hinting is going to be part of like a house music alias. So for me, one thing about Ikali is that no matter what he touches, it is always gold, right? And I don't think I'll ever be disappointed by Ikali's releases. And I think a lot of people are going to have very, very high pre-thoughts or pre-regards before this album drops. Like, I think they're going to be expecting a lot from Ikali. And I have a feeling he's going to deliver. He always, always delivers. He puts a lot of care into his music, into his projects. And I think this is really, really interesting to see somebody who normally does trap and, you know, bass music step into house music, because he's not the only one that we've seen do this. We've seen Nitty Gritty, we've seen Party Favor. So to see Ikali try something new, I think is really, really fascinating. We might actually see more bass artists and trap artists step into the house music realm, especially because it's so damn big in the US and all around the world.
I agree with that. I think it definitely lends them some ability to travel overseas and play bigger shows overseas, because there is certainly more of a house focus in a lot of the countries as well. I mean, you know, definitely bass music in general is growing in Europe, but this definitely, I think it just expands the horizons. But also, you know, that's probably not the primary reason for it. I think what's nice to see is that there's just more of I think we've started developing a little bit more of an acceptance for artists going outside of their typical sound.
Hell yeah.
I know that we've talked about it in the past, what was horrible with Getter. I mean, that happened. But aside from that, people, you know, generally, I mean, there's obviously your off cases, but I just feel like we are getting better as a community for allowing artists to delve into new sounds and even encouraging them, right? And being more open as consumers of their music. And I think that Ikali doing this is just, you know, this is something I feel like he's probably wanted to do for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I'm glad that he's doing it. In terms of the expectations and the pedestal that you're talking about there, Smith, it's interesting. I'm kind of coming at this where I do have expectations, but I'm minimizing them. I'm staying neutral for right now, because I'm not entirely sure how this album's going to sound. So I don't really have, you know, even though I've heard him drop some house sets and things, I'm trying not to prejudice myself here with it. Not because I think it's not going to be good, but it's more just that I want to give it the full kind of unfiltered chance when I listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been able to do here.
No, absolutely. And I should have said, after I said that thought, like, I'm trying to temper those expectations too, because I don't think it's always fair to, like, you know, set such a high bar for a specific artist. And we all do it. We all do it. And for me, like, Ikali is one of those artists, Porter Robinson, Eric Prydz, Madeon, those are some of the artists for me that I just hold in this very high regard at a next level. But this is a new project. This is a new sound for Ikali. So I think it is important to kind of temper those expectations. And, you know, if it's not for you, it's not for you. If it's not for me, it's not for me. But he's trying something new, and somebody out there is going to like it, and that's what's important.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a feeling I'm going to be one of those. I do have a feeling.
Hell yeah.
I have a strong feeling about that.
Definitely peep that EDC Vegas set, the virtual EDC Vegas set, if you haven't. It is phenomenal. It is fire, all right? And speaking of fire, here's what's coming up on Beyond the Beats. Guys, you already know that we released a session by Nadzi and by Schuster last week. And guess what? It's the summer of music, baby. We're bringing some more music to you guys from probably one of our all-time favorite underground artists. And we are, of course, talking about Volek. Yes. Dude, super stoked to have Volek on, in case you guys don't remember. I mean, how can you not remember? We talk about him so much on the show, but he is this trap artist out of Denmark. But it's not just trap, it's just this overall cinematic trap. Like, it's as soon as you start it, it's going to
envelop
you.
It's like electro in there, you know, mid-tempo almost. Like, there's so much in there.
Hell yeah, he brings the feels to it, dude. He brings the feels to it. And his mix, his Beyond the Beat session that he threw together for us, is a perfect example of that. So I want you guys to take a listen for what you're in store this coming Friday. Take a listen. We'll be right back.
absolute gold, man. Just
wow.
I mean, it was not only was it a pleasure to talk to him, but just this mix was just absolutely fire. I can't wait.
Redonkulous.
Redonkulous is perfect way to describe it. I mean, I really cannot wait until people get a chance to listen to the full thing. It's going to blow some minds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And guys, it is going to be released on July 3rd. So what a perfect way to start your holiday weekend, your July 4th weekend, if you're here in the U.S. And, you know, just above all, besides the mix, he is such a great dude. What a wonderful conversation that we were having with him. I mean, he is garnering so much attention, right? Mm-hmm. He's stacking up followers. He's getting massive releases. He's being championed by so many EDM blogs. But he is just somebody who's just extremely passionate about music. You know what I mean? He's in Denmark. He's not really where the EDM scene is. He was talking to us a little bit about how the EDM scene has kind of died off there and how that's affecting like his career trajectory. But this guy just keeps grinding. He just keeps going. And what's great is that his productions get better every single time he drops a brand new song. And we talk about this all the time on the podcast, but he is somebody that we are incredibly, incredibly impressed with. He takes risks and they always pay off. And that's why I absolutely love this guy. Fantastic conversation and a fantastic mix.
He's gonna do big things. He really does need to be on people's radar if he's not already. I mean, you know, he's already just gotten some support, you know, from just some big names out there, as well as just
Porter Robinson is one of them.
I know, it's unbelievable. So like he's gonna be someone we're gonna be hearing a lot more of in the future, and just a very stand up, very modest, humble guy. Absolutely love that. Love that.
Hell yeah. Guys, don't forget that will be out on July 3rd, the conversation and the session. So don't forget to tune into your favorite podcasting platform from that, or head over to our SoundCloud. You already know where you're going to find that Beyond the Beats session. All right. And guys, you know, we were just talking about the SoundCloud, the Beyond the Beats SoundCloud. It's going to be in the show notes for this episode. But hey, don't forget, we're also on Instagram at btb.pod. We're also on Twitter. That's at podbtb. We're on Facebook. We got the website beyondthebeats.co. That's where you can find all the playlists, all the show notes. You can learn a little bit about us. It is a really, really great time on that site. And not only that, if you guys want to send us an email, you want to share some of the music that you've been listening to, or if you're a producer yourself and you want us to listen to your music, feel free to email us. It is connect@beyondthebeats.co. And that's the perfect way to get in touch with us.
Now, before we dive into the next section, which is the What Are We Listening To section, we know that we are getting new EDM champions every week tuning in. What's going on, guys and girls? Thank you for joining us if it's your first time. If it's not, apologies if you've heard this before, but we do have an interesting rating scale when we dive into this section. So Samir, for those of you who may need a reminder, or for those who are just joining us, the new champions out there, please let us know what the rating scale is.
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
Okay, what are we going to start off with? I'm thinking let's dig into Grizz, okay? I mean, just, I feel like you gotta love Grizz. People just love his vibe, love his music, just love everything about him. So he teamed up with Rekno to produce this track called Medusa. Okay. All right, let's let it play. Hot boys, nasty.
right on the first verse, the first line is, hold up, it's the anthem. And you're goddamn right, this is the anthem, dude. What a great song from Grizz, man. I gotta say, from A to Z, I was so, so pumped up on this song, man. I mean, the production is so clean. It's so good. Like, it's filthy, it's wobby, but it's got the Grizz flair to it, right? It's very fun. It's very danceable. And you know, we've talked about this before with other forms of bass music and with dubstep. Sometimes there's just too much going on. It sounds a little bit too muddy, right? But in this particular song, Medusa by Grizz featuring Rekno, the production is so clean and so incredibly catchy. But above all, the lyrics on this track are fire, man. And I don't normally say that about songs, right? I don't know. I'm in a lyrics mood right now. But the lyrics from even when the first time I heard this song, we had one of our EDM champions on Zoom with us. We were just chilling, drinking, listen to some music. You know, Brad, what up to you, dude? I know you're a big Grizz fan, but he played this song for us, man, and I was hooked. I really, really like this song a lot. But one of my favorite lines from this is, hold on, I'll read this out for you guys right now. Hold up, it's the anthem. Put your fucking hands up. Smiling because I'm young, rich, gay, and I'm handsome. Yeah! What a way to own it, dude. Yes! What about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I thought that was awesome. I love the lyrics on it, and I love just the overall, you know, vibe that Grizz is creating here. He's just got a fantastic way of getting... It's that groovy dubstep that I just love, you know, and that's really created its own almost offshoot of what dubstep has become, the Americanized dubstep has become today. And I just love that he's keeping it up, and just this, just, it's a fantastic release. Like, just, it's, I can't, there's really nothing more to add. It's just a fantastic fucking release, and this is going to be an absolute, you know, banger that is slapped on big stages whenever we get back to festival season. I can guarantee that,
dude. And I just want to really, really quickly say too, like, this release was perfect for the month that we're in, the LGBTQ Pride month, the month of June, right? So the timing of this song, the lyrics of this song, the production of this song, everything about this is such a great release from him, man.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I think, yeah, just hit the nail on the head with it. Just, it's a perfect time to release a song like this. So, you know, hats off to them. Well done.
All right, Alec, what are we talking about next?
We've got Wolfgang Gartner. I feel like we don't really talk about him too much on the show, so I'm glad that we're going to be diving into his new track called Super Cars, as well as some of the interesting story and context behind it.
So I'm really excited about this release. Wolfgang Gartner was one of those artists back in 2010, 2011 that really showed me how electronic music can vary so differently genre to genre, or even just within the genre itself, right? I mean, Wolfgang Gartner was a massive part of the Complex Show scene, right? And you could really hear that in his drops. He just has a very, very unique sound to him. And he always has, from the inception of this project. He always has. I mean, the guy has teamed up with the likes of Skrillex, okay? I mean, seriously, like, back in 2011 and 2010, he was really at the top of the game here. I mean, he's teamed up with Deadmau5 as well. And one of his songs, Ill America, is just an absolute anthem for that time. So what's sad about his story is that he unfortunately struggled with addiction for a big part of his life, right? And in 2010, he had a relapse, and that was during, you know, the height of his career. And it just got to the point where he just said, like, he needs to step back, right? I mean, the performance anxiety was really getting to him. You know, being a part of the scene was really getting to him. And he said, like, he just needs to step back. So he checked himself into rehab, and he's now out of rehab, and he is producing music once again. And one of my favorite quotes from this interview that he did with Billboard, in release and anticipation of his brand new EP called Tucson, is this conversation that he reflects having with his father. His father asked him, you know, about 10 years ago when, you know, unfortunately he was really struggling with his addiction. His father asked him, are you an artist or are you a businessman? And at the time, Wolfgang Gartner said, well, I'm both. And his father asked the same question again. And then Wolfgang Gartner said, I'm both because I'm an artist and I have a business to run, which is my art. And I think that's a really interesting quote because it just goes to show you how artists aren't just artists, right? Like, they have to manage so many aspects of their overall brand. Like, they have to produce the music, yes, but they also have to be their own promoters. And when they're growing, they have to be their own managers and sometimes their own record label if they self-release their songs, and their own graphic designers and their own networkers. Like, there is a lot of pressure if somebody wants to step into the EDM artist space. And there's just a lot of pressure in this scene just in general. Like, it's not easy to pave your way in this scene. And it takes a lot of willpower and a lot of energy. And one thing that I love is that he called his father sometime later. And he asked his father, he said, "Dad, do you remember asking me this question 10 years ago?" So now we're like in 2020. And his father said, "Yes, I do." And Wolfgang Gartner said back to him, "Did you intend it to be as profound as I think it is?" And then he says, "Well, I realize the answer is that I'm an artist and that's it. I'm not a businessman. That's who I am. I'm only an artist and that's the only thing I will ever be." And so what I love is that through this time of him struggling with addiction and going to rehab and producing music is that he realized like who he was. And I think that this new release from him is a perfect example of him going back to his roots. And the release is called Supercars, like Alex said. Like, I feel like I've just been like digressing a lot, but like song, Supercars,
is very important context to have.
This song, Supercars, really feels like the music that he was producing when he first got into producing electronic music and when he first started producing Complex Show. But it also has some modern Daft Punk elements to it, like especially in the way like the pre-drop and, you know, the bridges. This song really reminded me of some of the modern day Daft Punk, you know what I mean? Like some of the stuff that we heard in 2012 and in the Tron soundtrack. But the drop is just so reminiscent of Wolfgang Gartner's old school sound. So what I love that I'm hearing right now, and what I think we're going to hear from this EP, is a bridge between the old and the new. But above all, it's him, and it feels like him. So that's why I'm a big fan of this song.
You know, that context mirror is just, it's very profound. And I think that question is particularly too, because, you know, I don't think he's saying that you can't be both an artist and a business person. But I think part of the issue is when you are one, you know, think predominantly, you feel like, and then you set these expectations around needing to be something else.
Yeah.
And how that may push you down a path you don't want to go and ultimately reject a part of yourself. Because I think, you know, implicitly here, there is an assumption that, you know, many people do have and they face themselves, is that you're either an artist or a business person. Like, it's some mutually exclusive decision. And for some people, it might be in terms of how they need to frame it and focus on it for themselves. But what really what really drives home the point here, though, is that if you feel like, you know, you're trying to be a business person, you're an artist first, but you're trying to be a business person, but then in the pursuit of trying to be a business person, it's making you unhappy, or you're forcing yourself to do things that really aren't staying true to who you are as a person, then stop trying to be that combination of business person and artist, right? If that makes any sense there. It's like a thin line between understanding that it's not necessarily a mutually exclusive thing, but it's a very much a subjective and personal thing with you. And it's more about, are you trying to do something that is not in line with your values and in line with your core and who you are and what you believe in and what makes you passionate? Right.
Well, like, said.
Not business doesn't excite everybody, right? It doesn't have to. So if it's not, I'm very much a believer in that you need to be doing, we have a very short life. During this life, what you need to be doing are the things that give you energy, the things that give you passion. That doesn't mean that it's, you know, there aren't things that suck or that we all have to do. Like, yes, that may be like 20 or 30 or 40% of the time. But the vast majority of the time, we should be putting our efforts into things that we derive energy from. And if you're an artist and you're trying to do more of the business side of things, and that is detracting that energy away from you, detracting that passion, figure out a way to stop that and reconnect with yourself, kind of how Wolfgang Gartner did. And you can even get people to help out with the business side of things. Like, you don't need to be the business lead necessarily on it. There are other ways to help you achieve both goals. So you still can be an artist, a business person. It's just that you can be the artist and you can have someone else handling the business. Like, you know, that's how companies are run. That's how organizations are run. It's like, there's nothing wrong with having to stick to more of what you are. If that whole tangent makes any sense.
No, well said. And it takes people some time to come to that realization. And I think Wolfgang Gartner, you know, as we've kind of just discussed in this interview that he did with Billboard, has come to that realization. And his music, I think, and especially this Tucson EP that he has coming out, is going to reflect that.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, Alec, let's come back, right? And let's go ahead and rate these two tracks that we just talked about. So let's go ahead and start with Grizz and Rekno for their absolute smasher, this absolute anthem called Medusa. What did you think?
For me, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to give it a level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets. I mean, this a song that if I heard in a vacuum, didn't know who Grizz was, I'd be like, who is this person? I need to go see him or her. And I tell you what, though, I mean, it's just, even knowing who Grizz is and who Rekno is, this is a track that makes me want to just buy the next Grizz ticket I can.
Dude, hell yes. I am 100% on board with you, dude. This is a level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets. This song, I mean, you cannot dislike this song. It's just not allowed.
It's hard.
All right? It's not
very
allowed.
Hard to. You have to try.
Everyone has it.
You have to try.
Everyone has their own opinion, so, you know, it happens. But yeah, it's going to be very hard to dislike this song. And Grizz just seems like the kind of guy who's going to set the energy and going to set the vibe just right. So I'm pumped up on this. Alec, why don't you give me your thoughts here on Wolfgang Gartner's new song, Supercars?
So for this one, I have to say that I absolutely appreciate the context behind it. And I think the lyrics are very meaningful. And you can hear a lot of soul in the music, a lot of him in it. And I just want to say I absolutely 1000% support that. And I truly, truly believe it. So I'm going to do something actually a little bit different here. Okay. So I'm not the biggest fan of the track, to be perfectly honest. It is not necessarily something that is for me. And I'm quite a stickler when it comes to ratings, and I do kind of have my opinions on things. But I'm actually going to bump this one up purely because of the context behind it and the fact that I think no matter what the end product is, this type of behavior when it comes to making music needs to be reinforced. So I'm happy to give this one a higher rating than I would had I just been consuming this in a vacuum. Because you know what? Sometimes context is important when we're rating these things. So
I love that.
I will give this a turn it up. You know, I'm going to turn it up because of my profound appreciation for what he has gone through as an artist and what he is trying to do with it. It is not my favorite thing, but I can tell you this. You know, I do have a feeling maybe this song will grow on me. I don't know. Maybe it's the context that I've learned behind it. I'm not sure, but I do feel like this is a track that may grow on me, and I want to give it that chance. And so I will turn it up the next time I hear it.
Great reasoning there, man. Seriously, like I'm 100% on board with you, dude. Context is sometimes very important when it comes to music releases, and just when you hear or when you watch something new. Like when we see artists shift their sounds and when we see artists try different things, it's not because that they're trying to follow a trend. Sometimes it is, but it's just because they are changing within themselves profoundly. We all go through periods of change and we all grow as people over the course of a lifetime. And I think Wolfgang Gartner is definitely exemplifying this here. He's trying something old and he's trying something new and combining it together for something new, something hybrid, right? And for me, I'm very, very excited about this direction, and I'm very excited to give this level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets, because Wolfgang Gartner is just one of those artists who knows his sound. He knows it, man. And his production always reflects that. His sets always reflect that. He brings the energy, but he also just really makes you feel good with some of those nostalgia feelings and vibes. So that's why this is a level 4 out of 5. Just bought tickets.
Very nice,
I'm very
man.
Pumped up on this.
Very nice. Love to hear that. All right. Whew. Okay. We are getting to the end of another episode of Beyond the Beats. I can't believe
it.
Time flies,
man.
Time flies when we're chatting. Absolutely love doing this with you, man. Okay. We've got the artist we're watching section. This is almost the epitome of the Beyond the Beats podcast. We're going to introduce to you two people that you may not have heard of before, but even if you have and you just need a reminder, please put them on your radar. They deserve even more traction than what they're currently getting. They deserve a platform and a spotlight. So,
absolutely.
Having said all of this, Samir, who wants to kick it off?
Alec, my man, why don't you take it away, dude? Bring the energy in. Let's get this going.
I will happily, happily do that. And I will very happily do that because I am introducing all of the EDM champions out there to the sounds of Charms. Big ups to David from San Francisco. My dude, a while ago, you commented on one of our Instagram posts saying who should be on this season. And I tell you, I know we haven't always responded to every single one there, but we do notice and we have taken notes. And I'm finally, finally so very happy to introduce everybody to Charms, who is really doing absolutely massive things in the bass house scene. You hear the track building up, really catchy vocal sample in here on the drop, and the drop is even sweeter. Take a listen.
Face down low.
Alec, yes, let's go. Okay, if there's one artist, if there's one song that's gonna make you put your ass to the grass, make you shake it on the floor, it's this song right here, dude. First off, super pumped up that we have EDM champions who are recommending some of their favorite artists to us. David, what up, dude? Thank you so much for putting Charms on our radar. This is such a great song, man. Like, it's bouncy, it's dark, but it's fun all at the same time. Like, it just kind of combines all these different vibes to it, and it really kind of just sounds refreshing and new. And what I love is that, like, it also has a little bit of nostalgia to it too, right? Like the bass down low vocal sample, like, I like my beats fast and my bass down low. Everybody knows that, but I just love how it's kind of like reprised for this track.
Absolutely, man. You hit the nail on the head there. Just a little bit of the nostalgia there, but with some modern twist and flair on it. And he's really just taken what's interesting is that he's combining, you know, almost a sense of bassline house with bass house, which is very interesting. So it makes the drop very catchy. All about it, man. All about when people are drawing influences. So I don't know if that's on purpose or if that's just kind of, you know, what I'm picking up here with my own subjective hearing, but that's what I'm seeing, and I'm all about it. And just for everyone's reference, I actually forgot to say the name of the track. It's called Bass Down Low. So as with the vocal sample, you may have inferred that from the, you know, the track where it's called Bass Down Low, but... Charms is just making some moves, and he has been for the last few years. He's already been supported by just, you know, massive, massive people in the scene, the heavyweights. We've got Calvin Harris, David Guetta, Diplo, Tiesto, Martin Garrix, Oliver Heldens, Fisher, Mr. Jam, and more people like that. Other heavyweights have supported him. I mean, he's also already had 8 Beatport top 10 hits in the 2017-2018 season.
You can't stop him.
He's on a tear. I just want to see him come over, play more in the US. I mean, that would just be fantastic once everything goes back to relative normalness.
I'm pumped up on this. Thank you so much for introducing us to Charms over here.
And thank you, David. Another shout out to you, man. Well done. That's a great, great, great recommendation.
All right. Here we go. I got my artist that I'm watching. And I want to introduce everybody to Kaebs, and that's spelled K-A-B-E-S, all right? So a couple of episodes ago, I introduced everybody to Amagnus, right? Somebody who's really kind of pioneering this future trap, future-based scene. And he released his songs and his EP, the Machine EP, on this collective called the Bonsai Collective. And ever since I discovered the Bonsai Collective through Amagnus, I've just been going down a deep, dark rabbit hole into the Bonsai Collective and the different artists and the different tracks and the different EPs that they've signed onto that label. And I'm very, very excited to be talking about this next artist here who also released something on Bonsai Collective, and his name is Kaebs, and I want to play this song for you guys called Flower. Take a listen.
This is a sick, sick track. And I love that you're starting to really delve into this future bass, future trap, combination of genres, subgenres here. It's just really interesting to hear where this sound is coming from, originating from, and where it's progressing. I just, I love this, man. I'm all about this. This is just, you know, added to my list of liked and favorites of the songs.
I'm really, really excited about that, Alec, because, you know, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but trap is really hitting a new wave in the US, right? And we're seeing a bunch of different artists pioneer this brand new version of trap. And it's really, really cool to listen to what these underground artists are doing and how they're differentiating themselves against the old and the new and the current artists that are also part of this second wave of trap, if you want to call it that, right? But not only that, I don't think a lot of people know this, but future bass itself as a genre that has been dominating the airwaves since like 2015 to 2018, a little bit into now, but it's kind of dying off. But future bass in itself is also an offshoot of trap. It was inspired by trap. But to hear future bass elements and trap elements kind of coming together for this genre, and what I'm calling it is future trap. You know what? If you don't like it, whatever, tweet at me. But I'm calling it future trap. And what I love is that it's just sounding so refreshing and so unique. And in this case, I'm loving the grand piano sound. I'm a really big fan of pianos in tracks, so I'm loving the grand piano sound. I love the airy synths, but I love, love, love the percussion and the glitchy video game sounds and synths that we're hearing on the drop. But by far, my favorite part of this song is in the second drop. And you guys, if you want to listen to that, go ahead to the show notes. You're going to have a link to it. But in the second drop of this song, he sounds like he's about to fake you out with like an Excision style rhythm song, right? Like it's that synth shot right before the second drop. And just as you're about to think it's going to drop into something much harder, he pulls it back and he's like, oh shit, this is still the same song. Like he didn't go in a very jarring direction. He kept it true to the sound. And all of his songs have such a cohesive sound to them. Like he really knows his sound here, right? So, you know, we got Fucks With It, who premiered Surge, which is another great song. And you know what? Shout out to Fucks With It. They beat us to the punch again. But we also got this song called Messiah. So he worked with a vocalist called Sarah DeWarren. And it's a really, really good song. Like, this guy knows what he's doing. His production is clean. His releases are amazing every single time. And he really keeps the quality up high. And just a big shout out to Banzai Collective once again for really being on the forefront of this future trap sound that we're hearing. I'm really pumped up on this.
Love it, man. Love the energy behind Cabes here. And I can tell you, I hope that definitely getting some more support. That's what I'm hoping for. I really do believe that these two artists are just, you got to put them on your radar. So, dude, that concludes episode 65. Wow. I mean, it's amazing as we see the numbers rack up in terms of episodes, right? It's quite
weird,
remarkable.
Dude.
Yeah. It's pretty insane. It's absolutely insane. So, definitely, my man, this has been an absolute pleasure. And EDM champions, I hope this has been a pleasure for you as well. It would mean an awful lot if you could subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. But also, more importantly, if you're not down to write a little quick review, which would be, you know, that definitely helps and goes a long way. But just share it with a friend. You know, get another fellow EDM champion, another raver that you know onto the show. And it means a lot to us, and we just want to expand the community as large as possible and help give the artists that we're talking about an even larger platform and more of a spotlight and get them into your SoundCloud or Spotify playlists.
Absolutely, Alec. Absolutely. All right, EDM champions, here's the news. Next week, we're not releasing an episode. We're taking a week off. So Alec and I can relax a little bit. It's part of the July 4th weekend. And you know what? I know Alec needs a week off. I need a week off. We work hard here on Beyond the Beats and in our full-time jobs. There's literally no other reason except that we just need to take a week off. So guys, enjoy your holiday weekend. Tell your friends and family how much you love them. And do not forget, wear a mask, wash your hands, and above all, Black Lives Matter.